This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:06, you're listening to WSMI AM 1540. It's the Wednesday Talk Show. I'm your host, Tobin, alongside everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus. Uncle Ralph, how are you today?
Fair to Midland.
Fair to Midland?
Yeah.
I had a roller coaster night last night.
Did you?
I watched the Cardinal game. That was intense. And then I flipped it over to the Blues hockey game. I was like Lou Brown.
I would have lost because I would have bet that old Tobin was down at the hockey game.
If I was there, I would not have a voice today.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have had a voice today.
But what's that guy say on Saturday Morning Sports, M-O-N-E-Y?
Yeah, something along those lines.
M-O-N-E-Y got in the way.
That's right. Absolutely. We got a couple of good guests this week. Mindy Melton from the Central Illinois Community Blood Center is our guest, and we also have Erica Kennett and David Ronan from the Montgomery County Economic Development Corporation in as well. And let's start with you, Mindy. Talk with us a little bit about the Central Illinois Community Blood Center. How are things going?
The blood supply is actually doing quite well. We were actually able to help out Boston with a few units, so we were able to send about 120 pints over there. We had a really good week that week, and it just happened to work out that we were able to share. Normally, we're struggling to keep up, but we actually had a good week the week before.
The Boston thing, did they reach out to all
They did. They reached out to all the different community blood centers, so several of us were able to send blood to make sure that they had plenty on their shelves, because not only did they have the need for it because of what happened, but they also weren't able to operate for a couple of days while they had most of the city shut down. You can imagine the last thing on anyone's mind is to go out and give blood for a few days. So
right.
We were able to help them out with about 120 pints. We've got blood drives coming up in town, though, so we're hoping to keep our blood supply stocked. The drive coming up in Hillsboro at the Moose Lodge has been moved to the 15th.
Sorry.
But it is going to be on the 15th, so you have a couple weeks now to get there, and it's from noon to 6 as well.
I will add, it will be back on its regular schedule from here on out. What happened is a scheduling conflict, and we had to move some things around, so...
And we're flexible, so it all worked out. It worked in the schedule. And then, again, we are at Carlinville today from noon to 6 at the Elks Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
May 17th, we're going to be at the Litchfield Police Department from 2 to 5 p.m. with our Bloodmobile, and that is kicking off our Badges for Life Challenge in Litchfield. And what we're doing there is the fire chief and the police chief are challenging each other. And whoever gets the most donations, they're going to have through the summer months, the loser gets a pie in the face. So we'll see how that goes.
When we have a tragedy like in Boston and they call for blood from people like you, let's talk a little bit about, you said you sent 120 units.
Yes.
I know there has to be special preparation for that unit of blood before you ship it. So what all curtails into that?
Well, what happens when we have to share blood with another blood center or with the military or something like that, which, again, it doesn't happen very often that we're able. I know that I believe when Joplin was in their situation with the tornadoes down there, they had asked for some blood, and we just weren't able to. We didn't have enough here. So we would never leave our hospital short. But in the case that we know that we have overage and we've got a lot of high school big blood drives going and you know, the weather changing a little bit, everybody's kind of in the mood to give blood. So, you know, that was just a fortunate situation that when they called, we said, yeah, we've got enough to share. So, you know, it's processed and shipped just normal. And since it is a sister blood center, it's pretty easy to transfer it over.
And, of course, that just brings to light to, you know, when you see the advertisements for a blood drive, whether it's you or the other guys or however, no matter who it is, it's important because somewhere down the line, whether it's like the situation in Boston or job or whatever, it can be used. And you just never know when that call is going to be made.
And it's one of those things that we've got to have blood on the shelf before we need it. It's no good to collect it afterwards. I mean, yes, to restock the blood supply is great, but to actually not have it when we need it is when we're in trouble. But we've got to always make sure that we have plenty for our 85 hospitals.
Just recapping again, you have a blood drive this afternoon in Carlinville at the Elks Lodge that starts at noon. Then you have a blood drive on May 15th.
May 17th. It's a Friday from 2 to 5 on the Bloodmobile at the Litchfield Police Department.
Okay.
May 15th, I'm sorry, Wednesday. Yeah. I'm thrown off because it's the third Wednesday. But May 15th, we're going to be at the Moose Lodge in Hillsboro from noon to 6. And then always the fourth Tuesday from noon to 6 at Litchfield at St. Francis Hospital.
All right. Mindy, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for your time. And best of luck. And, of course, anyone seeking more information about the Central Illinois Community Blood Center, they could always go onto the website, and that probably has all the schedules of where upcoming blood drives are and all the latest.
Yeah, it's cicbc.org, or they can always call the blood center at 866-GIVE-BLD, or they can call a direct line, which is 217-241-7550, to schedule an appointment.
All right, Mindy, thank you again for your time. And let's swing the mic over.
Right,
We've got Erica Kennett and David Ronan from the Montgomery County Economic Development Corporation here as well. Ladies, gentlemen, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good morning. Good.
And we are here to talk about the Economic Development Corporation. And Erica, since the last chat, we have a new board installed with the corporation, and I think David's got something to do with the new board. So talk with us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. At our annual meeting at the end of March, David was not only elected to serve as a board of directors, he is now our new chairman for the MCEDC, and I'm just thrilled to have him on board.
And David, let's talk about your role now with the corporation. A lot of good things are happening, but sometimes you need a push to keep the ball rolling. What's your role here with the Corp?
Well, I've been involved with economic development with the Chamber at Litchfield, and that was one of my major goals on getting on the county board was economic development. So it's all kind of new to me. I'm getting used to the job, I guess, and getting the full board there and going over a few things, and we should be, we got a meeting coming up here on the 2nd, which is tomorrow. So got a lot of things to discuss. Our employment's fourth highest in Illinois in this county, so we got to work on workforce development and do some new things to recruit business to this area.
And workforce development, that could go into either bringing jobs, A, into the county, or B, retaining the jobs already here and making sure that their needs are met to keep the people that they have working.
Oh, and as well training people that are looking for work. You know, with having a high unemployment rate, we're trying to find creative ways to train people who either need an upgrade in skills or are changing career paths from one skill set to another and need assistance with that, making sure that when we graduate students that they are prepared to walk into the workforce that we have here so they don't have to move away to find another job, that we can keep our employees and our employers right here in Montgomery County.
And when we talk about a high percentage of unemployment in areas such as Montgomery County, we also have to keep in mind that Montgomery County is a relatively small county population-wise. So if you have a, say, 8 or 10% unemployment and you have 30,000 people in the county, that's a pretty good chunk of people who don't have a job.
Absolutely.
Right.
And right now, I think we'd be happy with an 8 or 10%
unemployment rate. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm just using that as a...
We were at 12.4.
Yeah, I just heard that where it was over 12 or in that area. But, that enters into it. We just don't have that many job opportunities. And makes your job more difficult to try to help people find employment.
In the county this size, though, it kind of behooves whatever. If there's a business coming in, that whether it's the Economic Development Corporation, the municipalities in the county, or even the county board, works with that company. And if it doesn't, let's say, work for Litchfield, but it works for Raymond, at least you have more than one opportunity for a location. Case in point, Raymond is working on a new dollar store venture in Raymond area. There is some room to grow in this county.
Oh, absolutely. You look here at, we do a business retention program, and 38% of businesses that were surveyed, which is around 20 businesses throughout the county, 38% of those businesses are currently having increasing employment needs, which is great. There are opportunities here for, expansion, businesses looking to expand. And what's one of the great questions that we ask is there a reason that this community would not be considered for your expansion plans? And resoundingly, the answer is No, we would definitely, you know, if we can, you know, have the land right here, or we can buy, a lot of places already have the land. All they need to do is make the investment. So the businesses that are here are excited to stay here, and we want to make sure that it's beneficial for everybody for them to stay here. It's cheaper from an economic development perspective to retain businesses than having to go out and attract a new business. Your success rate is going to be higher. The amount of effort needed to do that, and the timing is so much better for retention. And so it's not as flashy. Everyone loves the, you know, the splash of a new store. But, you know, when you can expand a business with 50 jobs, I mean, that's better than getting a new place that only has 25 jobs.
Let's talk a little bit about identity, because I've been in Montgomery County for about six, seven years now. And I've always thought certain areas in the county have an identity where they're going to try to get industrial things into the city. And when, quite frankly, I think they should be looking at another, like, you know, if we go bed and breakfast and keep what we have here and grab, you know, far be it, Ford's not coming here, something like that. But if we keep it relatively and we can get what we can get, be okay. Is there a little bit of an identity crisis going here that, you know, are we in the market to get a big industrial area here? Or should we focus on bed and breakfast and in that way?
I think there's a couple different sides to that. Obviously, the bed and breakfast is going to bring in new money to the community. That will increase the retail sales tax, which is the bread and butter for so many of these communities. So there is that. But you still need to make sure that we have viable jobs for people in our community to work. So you have to have some kind of a hybrid approach. As far as an identity crisis, I wouldn't probably go that far.
Okay.
There are some ways that the community and the county as a whole can look at defining who they are, telling their story, understanding what other people are saying about them so that they can make sure they're promoting the correct image. And community, I actually spoke with the City of Hillsborough's Planning Commission, their economic development component. I gave them a presentation on community branding and letting them know, because that was one of their concerns too, is how do we differentiate ourselves from others? And I think that you have to have bare bones conversations of who we are, who we want to be, and how we're going to get there.
And of course, when we look at our community here, Montgomery County, we are still a large percentage of a agriculture community, because we have vast amounts of farmland, which is agriculture. So the industry part of it, and we don't have any, you know, Litchfield, Hillsborough, cities like that. We don't have any large areas where factories like to, you know, locate.
Right.
So we have some hurdles to overcome.
And site development is a big part of that. Identifying where these potential sites can be, if there was infrastructure there, who would come here? And the cost. But there's always going to be a cost associated with it. And as David knows, with the county right now, times are tough. It's lean.
And I know there's a lot of things. I mean, this is a long process. I know Heather Hampton Nodal, before you were in, when she was in your position, she was all about Internet, Royale Communications. She's got that going. You're now starting to see the fruits of that work coming into the county. But there are some other things behind the scenes that are taking place that would lay the foundation for a company to grow. Because if you don't, and I agree with Heather on this, if you don't have good internet connection and good technology in the county or capable in this county, you're not going to get very far. And that's the nuts and bolts of it. What's going on behind the scenes that's kind of laying the foundation? We talked about the internet, the Royale, the DeMuzio Broadband Initiative thing. What else is going on in the county?
We have to figure out how to be competitive with other communities. When we're approaching them with a project, we need to make sure that we can promote and provide the most competitive package for them, whether it be making sure that our labor force is ready, making sure that we have the sites and the buildings for them, and identifying what those are. So not only are we responding to those requests, but we can then go forward and market those.
Okay.
And I feel that a lot of times we have to compete not only with surrounding counties, but other states, and some of the surrounding states have went to a right-to-work state, which, you know, cheaper labor force there, so a lot, you know, we've lost some of that to other states.
Right.
So there's all kinds of challenges involved, but me and Eric have been working on trying to find a new way to be innovative over other counties or states to bring someone here.
And with Montgomery County in a whole, you're kind of not behind the eight ball in a way, but you're not too far from Madison County, who has access to the St. Louis market. You're not too far from Sangamon, that has access to the Springfield market. You're not too far from Christian, which have access to the Decatur market. You're kind of, you got to be clever on that.
And that's exactly right. We're looking for ways now to offer something that they do not right now. And we've got a few things in mind. We just got to see them through at this point.
The state has the same problem, like David mentioned. They there's a Senator Menar is working on a bill to go through that will change the face of the state's economic development organization. And it looks like it's moving. It, you know, if passed, it could possibly move from a strictly public entity to a public-private partnership, which is what we have at MCEDC.
Right.
I think that streamlining the state's economic development efforts, doing more marketing, being more hands-on, and telling the story of how this, you know, how we are a good place to live and work.
Right.
Because getting rid of the stigma of being harsh on employers.
And when you talk of when you speak to people about a good place to live and work, certainly if a person or a family is going to come into our area, immediately they want to know, what kind of schools do you have? And probably second, and you can lump them off, but they want to know what kind of housing is available. And they will ask you, and I've been involved in a few of these, and they will ask you, what kind of religious facility, what kind of churches, do you have strong churches in your community? Those are some of the things that people look at, and certainly from my viewpoint, I can say we're in pretty good shape on all these.
Yes, definitely. We have great public school systems. You know, you were talking Madison County, for instance, mm-hmm. Edwardsville. Such a large school, your kids tend to get lost in the mix a lot
right.
of times.
Yeah.
We have the smaller schools here. We have a good school system here. So that, and the churches, yes, we have many options to choose from and good followings. So.
And I think I'm from the Hillsborough area, but available housing in Hillsborough or Litchfield or Raymond or wherever you wish to locate if you come into the community, decent available housing is there.
And that's what's important, too. Whenever you locate a business in Hillsborough or Nokomis or Litchfield or any of the others, you can live in a different part of the county and still
sure,
work there.
Sure.
It's drivable. You can. It's easy to get there. You're not gonna. You may have a shorter commute than those who work in Madison County that drive to St. Louis every day because of there's no traffic.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of benefits to that, and that is key because when the employers come to look at the community to look at the facility, they're also moving their people there, and they want to make sure that their employees are going to be happy to live by where they're working.
Yeah, in that community, and again that they're. Offsprings are going to be happy and content with the educational facilities that are available to them.
And don't underestimate the power of the wife to help make that decision for the CEO, too.
Yeah.
I've seen that several times.
Absolutely. And you know, but there's a lot of good in this area. I mean, and Erica, you and I have talked about this before, and we kind of touched base on it earlier today, especially this area. You're an hour away from St. Louis. You're an hour away from Decatur, depending on what parts you go to. You're 45 minutes to an hour away from Springfield. So it's an easy, well, with gas the way it is, it kind of makes it a little bit tougher, but it's still easily commutable. And you don't have the hustle and bustle. I was joking about this the other day about Edwardsville. I graduated from SIUE in 2000. And you look at that campus and the city right now, from now to then, or from then to now, night and day difference. I mean, it's not the same old Edwardsville anymore. It's totally different.
And another thing, too, that you could add to this mix, you have right here in our vicinity, and certainly, as Tobin said, the availability to St. Louis and Springfield for medical facilities, but we have two excellent small-town facilities here in the Hillsborough and Litchfield Hospital. You know, if you need emergency treatment before you move on to someplace else, it's here.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a lot of areas, you guys, you're involved in this, but you can think of areas in towns where they may have to drive half hour to an hour to get to a doctor, mm-hmm. let alone a hospital.
Yeah, definitely. I've been traveling the Southern Illinois market quite a bit, and it is very widespread. So,
Dave, what have you learned so far since you were installed?
Well, it's been a very short time. Right now, I'm just trying to get a feel for everything, figure out exactly everything we have to offer. Probably in the next few weeks here, I'm meeting with Tanya also. I'd like to get a good relationship with Litchfield's Economic Development. They have a few more things to offer than we do, so I'm trying to figure out ways that we can work together. So, and one thing I have learned from being on board with this, my background, I went to Carbondale and did a industrial engineering, which is facility planning, things like that.
Right.
And I have a lot to offer someone who's wanting to come in the area. But the problem I have is everything in this business is real hush-hush. Nobody wants to let anything out, which is understandable. I understand. But it's hard to give somebody some input or some just any type of advice when you really don't know. You know the basics of what they need, but that's about it.
Right.
We're running short on time here, but if some group is interested in locating in any of our areas and would like to talk to either one of you, how do they contact you?
The best way is our website, which is montgomerycountyillinois.org, all written out. We also, on May 13th, are having our legislative small business breakfast that is free for those to attend, but they do need to RSVP. It's a partnership between our organization, the City of Litchfield's Economic Development, and Macoupin County's Economic Development, as we try to partner and bring all of our resources together as often as possible to benefit the area.
So there's a lot of good things going on. The main thing is, it just takes time.
Yes.
It just takes time, just like anything. Go through the city. You got zoning. You got planning. Then you got the council, two meetings, before something comes to a reality. It just takes time.
And one other thing is, our county is in a money crisis right now.
Yeah.
And people have to realize that you might have to spend a little bit to get someone here. You know, just creating 150 jobs here will boost the economy here and raise our tax, you know, raise the tax and revenue in. And that's something we have to realize, because if we don't start growing, it's going to stay in the same state it is.
It also brings to the point, they have to work together. City of Hillsborough, City of Litchfield need to work together on a project if it gets something done. The county and, you know, wherever need to work together. We're at that stage.
And that was the first thing I brought up to Erica when I came in, is it seems like a lot of times we don't work together as well as we should, but we're closing that gap, and we have been.
And you know, if we talk about employment, if, as I said, 8 or 10, but if that unemployment could go from 12 to 8, that'd be a big difference. That's only 4%, but that's a lot of people.
We are running short on time. Erica, David, thank you so much for your time. We also want to thank Mindy Melton for coming in as well. Uncle Ralph next week on the program. Leslie Johnson from Lincoln Land Community College will be here, so we'll be prepared to be educated.
Yeah.
And we'll have that conversation next week. Until then, so long.